that was built and in the cover.
Where's Harry?
Yes, ma'am.
Wasn't Harry just here?
That's what he said.
Yes. He had to hook everything up.
Oh, that's right. Kevin's in Hawaii. I don't remember things.
What's the matter with you this weekend?
Oh, I've been out of it.
Yeah. Do you do your exercises?
Not this weekend. Well, I did Saturday morning, but I just swam Saturday morning, and then I was gone.
Missed a good party.
That's what Pete said.
Yeah. We got to see somebody click some wooden shoes together.
What?
I got some wooden shoes.
So he's not shoes. So he's not knit anymore.
You got wooden shoes?
Did you wear them this morning?
No. I didn't. Never mind. I won't go into that. Ecclesiastes 11. We started to study verse 5, but verse 4 is, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Now, in many ways, this is it's saying something that's kind of opposite of from the agricultural stuff, because remember what this means, what we talked about that it means? He who gives importance to the spirit of the heathen kingdoms will not be in the will of God. As the clouds obscure the sun, so the heathen kingdoms obscure the will of God. You look puzzled. Are you just...
I'm just absorbing this definition. We've been talking a bit about this, being in this fog, and when you're in deception, you're in deception, and where it comes from, and how it happens, this is the point.
Well, the deception always happens because you don't see repentance. There's no ability to repent, because all you can do in repentance is saying you're sorry for doing something, you'll do better the next time.
Yeah, you never leave your point of self-seeking.
Right.
That's
And that's not repentance, and therefore it's not circumcision of the heart. And therefore, you will constantly observe, you'll observe the wind, and you shall not sow, and you shall observe the clouds, and you shall not see. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what Paul was, I believe, well, it doesn't matter what I believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Who is this?
4 or 3?
This is Sophie.
Hi, I'm Sophie.
Hi, Sophie.
That's old. You figured.
Why?
I told her who you were.
What did you say?
I figured.
She's from California.
Oh, God.
By way of Lithuania.
Oh,
Southern
God.
California.
Oh, God. Not another one. Gary's from California. He's an airhead. We've got a whole language about speaking in California.
Oh, yeah.
Like. No, never mind. I won't go. We won't go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, actually, go. Look. In chapter 3, verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, the type that we saw, the temple or all the law and the Torah and all that, was glorious, but it has no glory in respect to that which it signifies. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of a glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, or the same cloud, if you will, in this respect, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. I didn't want to go here this morning. This is your fault.
If you'd leave me alone, you wouldn't have to do this.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Upon whose heart? When Moses is read, when the law is read, the veil is upon the human race's heart. Because all they can see is how I can use this, or how I can't do it, or how I can select which little pieces of the law I'm going to follow or try to follow. Because everything is about giving you a sense of rightness. And this is universal. This is, again, it's another example of the scriptures, that nothing in here is optional. If that veil is there, it doesn't matter whether you call yourself Christian and whether you've walked the veil 500 times, you will still only use all of the scriptures as an instrument of self-realization. Or you'll just like to use everything else. Everything will be a mirror to see, what does this mean to me? How can I use this? And that veil is there. It's silver nitrate, because it's everything is about your own redemption. How can I be redeemed?
That's where this using the cross as a bridge instead of an instrument of death.
Right. It's just another instrument of. That's why they're enemies of the cross, because they're not dying. They're walking across it, trying to get to the other side. Which, by the way, came from California. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. And it doesn't matter whether you call yourself Christian or Jew or Arab or Muslim or anything else, the veil is upon your heart because of the curse, so all you can conceive of is self-realization. What does this mean to me? What should I do tomorrow? What can I do about this? How can I fix that? And you spend an eternity in self-realization with an accusing heart. And so you're always, that forces you into constant acting. You have to be a hypocrite. Right? What? Now you're doing that. You and another airy guy. You are. What are you? What you're doing? Something. There's something transpiring. You understand?
Yeah.
Is there an amen?
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was doing. I was resisting because you were looking at me, and what I was supposed to do was say, "Yes, I know you're talking about me, but I didn't want to do that." So that's what I was doing.
So you were. So it really was the veil. You just slopped up.
I was just.
You're just playing.
Jacking with you. Got caught.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when who's the it? The beast that is you. this snake, when it shall turn, when it shall repent, shuv, when it shall abandon itself, when it shall see the end of all concern about fixing self or protecting self or saving self or getting something for self, when it shall turn to the way, turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
It's funny it says it, huh?
Well, it's
like the heart. It's talking about the heart.
It's talking about the heart, but it's appropriate from your standpoint.
Just, yeah, that's just a symbol for...
What?
The heart, in this case, is just a symbol for what you're talking... The beast. It.
Now what's going on with him?
He's laughing.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. Now, and again, it doesn't mean turn to and say, hi, Jesus. Or turn to and say, oh, I accept you as my personal Savior. Or, oh, I'm giving you all the glory, Jesus. That's not it turning. That's it trying to survive. And some of you know a great deal about that. Sweet thoughts. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, and this is critical because this is the constant. You can never say the Spirit of the Lord is there, but you feel oppressed by someone or something. Or some situation. You can never be oppressed by anything because the heart has turned to the Lord. Everything is finished. Everything is perfect. So there can, by definition, be no oppression. You cannot need anything. What? What are you doing now? What?
Well, I was just thinking the rest of that sentence is, even if they're an unpleasant, churlish, arrogant, obnoxious, loud...
Who would you be talking about?
Nobody in particular. Uh-huh.
Just as an assumption.
But there can't be a spirit of oppression even in the presence of...
somebody like you.
Somebody like you.
So that's why I was laughing. What is it then when you feel that you are being oppressed?
I mean, you're being deceived. You're being deceived. Again, you think the battle has something to do with something external to you, so by definition, you're not contending with him in his test. You think you have a test, therefore, you by definition are deceived. But never, the warfare is never external. It's always against the spiritual wickedness in these high places in your mind.
In a right relationship with God is you're dead.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, that means nothing hidden, total transparency, nothing waiting for it to gel, total transparency, but we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, are metamorphosed, transfigured into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's where you be instead of try to be. That's where you don't wait for the right opportunity. You just be. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't quit in our minds. We don't get into a dis... That's what fainting means. It means to quit in this moment of dependence and quit in this moment of explosion and being. You quit because you've fainted in your mind. You've gone back to calculating and considering and trying to justify yourself. But have renounced the hidden thing of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, or, and again, manifestation, open, B, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Nothing is ever hidden. There's never, you never have to worry about concern. What's their secret agenda? What are they really trying to do? What am I? Oh, well, I'm blah, 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 blah. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And again, that's the veil. And it's not, the veil isn't done away with by some act of religiosity. The veil is done away with only when you see the emptiness and futility of all your being. What? Now you're doing it again.
Well, I'm kind of astounded at how this is like math. It multiplies. You hear it and it squares itself. And it... As it squares itself, self tries to square itself to equal the, you know, the information and attach to it. It's like repentance doesn't, I don't know how to say it, it's not like it becomes easier, but it becomes more incredible.
Remember, if you ever hear anything in the Bible, or anything from me, or anything from anybody that's teaching, that says it's something you should do, and you've heard wrong. If your response is anything other than abandonment of self, then you've heard wrong.
Right. But what I was doing was I was understanding, self was trying to lift itself up above the understanding so it could gain it, rather than, you know, the staying in the moment of repentance.
Remember the five I ams of the evil one. One of them is, I will rise above the cloud.
Right.
Exactly what you were doing.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Don't do it anymore.
No.
It's stupid.
I talked about it enough.
It's unflattering.
Oh, God. But you got to hear, these aren't casual words. These are words that come against the basic nature of human beings. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded. Blinded. And well, how have they blinded? They've blinded by, if you use, we are all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So wherever we look, we only see Him. But they all, if you will, beholding as in a glass themselves. And so everything is a mirror. Everything is the glass, but it has their own redemption behind it. So it has their own silver. And so everything is, how does this affect me? Even your own thoughts, how does this affect me? It's seminal.
But what just happened, what I just said, I realized how I despise myself for that. And it's because I will try and usurp God's territory.
But again, if...
That's what the nature of the beast is about.
Remember when after Job went through everything, and then he finally said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent, and I abhor myself,
right,
and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. The sackcloth and ashes means that he has accepted his death. The sackcloth was made out of the hairs of the animal that were sacrificed as the type, and the ashes mean that he sees that he was burned. So you can't have, there's no more room for any of that kind of crap anymore.
You're talking about a mirror.
There was a thing that Leonardo da Vinci made, one of those many little things that he put together. One of them was a cabinet of mirrors, you know. And he just made, you know, where you get into this thing, close the door, and it had this weird effect, you know, for back then. Seeing everywhere you looked, you saw like an infinite number of
you
going off in the distance. And that's like what everybody is like. And when it's changed, then when you see that you're dead and his life is the only thing there, then you see everywhere you look, you see an infinite
him.
A him. Not looking at the stuff.
Remember about it once a week. In the early years, when I first started teaching, we would read this chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And we should probably do it every day now, but anyway. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, broken earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and never of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but never destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always bearing about the dying. It's not that you're dead. You died on the cross. It's all a battle with this usurper that you have grown up and formed and made called you. And you've taken little pieces of everything you've seen and you've created a you. And that you is can't possibly have anything to do with the kingdom of God. But yet still, you hear, and everything is a negotiation. Everything is, how can this, what can I do about this? How can I fix this? And every time, it's gone. You're gone. So you're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. I hope you understand.
That's in the body of Christ.
It's both, but you can't, it doesn't mean anything. It can't mean anything about the body of Christ if you're not it. If you've accepted yourself and saying, oh, that's them, or that's this amorphous thing, then you will never experience a death, and you'll be able to live in your little mind and constantly run up to your little high places and solutions and mix your little pots of witch's brew, which you're very familiar with, because there's a whole chapter in the Bible named after you.
You don't need to read that right now.
All right.
That's hitting me, because we're not bearing about our death, because that's a done deal.
It's a given if you're reading the Bible. If you're in the New Testament, it's a given. You're dead. That was certified in your baptism. You were buried in baptism. There can't be any more you.
The life that we're carrying around is the life of Christ, which is always emptying and pouring out and
basically
heading for the cross all the time.
Remember, that's the mystical 42 months, the 3.5 years that are throughout the Scriptures. It's the day from his baptism to his death. That was the 42 months. The only thing you're doing now, once you've said, I accept you as my personal Savior, is you're bearing about in the body that 42 months. For some of you, it's lasted a jillion years. But it's still, it's only thing that's going on is you're bearing about in the body his death. Is that trigger something?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll spend your life trying to die. That's you can't do it. And you'll repeat little phrases and you'll make the mystery of God into some kind of a mantra that you, or you'll even use the word Jesus as the Hindu thing of, instead of saying Aum, you say Jesus, Jesus, or So you've made the mystery of God into another instrument of your own sorcery. All right. There's still... This is your fault. You realize that.
It gets to your point.
Yeah. Certain topic.
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You understand mortal means dead. You understand that, right? So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are the New Jerusalem. It's all around us. But the things that are seen are, we observe the wind, so we shall not sow. We observe the winds and the kingdoms, and we pay attention and we respond and react to all these idiot things that go on in the world. That has nothing to do with anything. And so our message, instead of being timeless, it's always time dependent. And it can't be, if it's time dependent, it's not therefore, it's not of the, maybe it's a childish thing, it's like a little kid going into a candy store. But again, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he who regardeth the clouds shall not reap. I believe this is what Paul was speaking about in what we just read.
Surface, that sounds like that's what you're supposed to do, is observe the conditions so you can, you know, divine what's going to happen. And then you, and the idea of the natural, I guess, is that you're, you know, if you spend all your time doing that, you never get around to reaping or sowing or anything. You continue to sit in that.
It's like
mixing up.
Yeah, it's the field life harvest. Yeah, it's... The other way is just augury and sorcery and cause and effect, magic. And
what's that one where you incantation. Where you open the Bible and then go stick your finger somewhere? Psychomancy. It's just another form of witchcraft, augury. But they're putting, since we're using the Bible, it's got to be in God's name. No, it doesn't.
Well, there's all kinds of logic that you can apply to it. You can explain all the incantations. They all make sense because... We've observed the weather and the tides. I mean, it all makes sense in quotes. It's still magic.
Anybody have any questions? You see why you can't... Your mind, I mean, the moment you give it 1 inch, it takes the whole thing back. You can't... There's nothing you can... And that's why you love to go up there.
And it's ever ready. It's like it just wants...
Yeah, it's near. You're not going to ever get any better. And if you ever think, that's why this thing is, that's why I got so upset at you when you said your thoughts were sweet, or that you were an honest liar. Because, I mean, that's, that makes a cross of no effect. But it, by the definition, no, you have to do all that until you can see your thoughts aren't sweet. And you have to continue to be an honest liar until you see the stupidity of that. But that doesn't excuse the time. It's still rebellion, especially for someone that's been here 36 years.
He wasn't listening.
Huh? What did he say?
He wasn't listening for much of it.
Anybody have any questions?
No, but I certainly appreciate what you had to offer today. Really,
don't tell me. Don't say that.
Well, it's met me where I needed to be met.
She was trying to say something good.
Yeah.
He doesn't come back. If you meet the Buddha, kill him.
No, I understand what you're saying. I was just being facetious. And I can't even spell it, but I was being it. Take a big guy.
See, it's even true if the person is facetious.
What?
Spell it M-E-A-N.
I was trying something different. I was being facetious.